Hey folks, welcome to the Great Conversations Podcast. I'm your host, Calvin Smith, and this is where we discuss five big topics every time: the gospel, relevance, evangelism, apologetics, and training for Christians, all in relation to the truth of God's word in Genesis as the seedbed of all Christian doctrines. What we're going to be covering here today is how to discern whether you should listen to Bible teaching from ministries that compromise the authority of God's word in Genesis. Should we trust ministries that don't support biblical creation? Now, let's face it, with everything that's going on in Christendom right now, with the fallout and the apostasy, downfall of iconic leaders, etc., Christians are asking, who can you trust? The incredible pressures put upon the Western Church reveal that at its foundation, it's perhaps a lot shakier than previously thought. And although many church websites declare this unwavering commitment to the authority of Scripture, their response to biblical marriage, gender identity, sanctity of life, so-called racial issues, they often expose a fear of man rather than a fear of the Lord and His Word. You know, as the old adage says, you don't really know how strong a tea bag is until you stick it in hot water. Well, you could say there's a lot of hot water you could find yourself in these days. Anyway, as I mentioned, many believers have really kind of felt adrift over the past few years. They've watched their churches, they've watched pastors, Bible teachers, authors, entire ministries they once admired fall into error and apostasy, and they've left many people just wondering, who exactly can I trust? Now, of course, the balance between unity and discernment is one that believers should and must tread very carefully. You shouldn't become some kind of online or in-person heresy hunter who needlessly provokes and quarrels and divides, because Scripture reminds us, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. That's 2 Timothy 2:24. And today we certainly do see a divided church, but that's nothing new. You know, speaking to the Corinthian church of his time, but of course applicable to the church at all times, the Apostle Paul said, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment." That's 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now, believers need to unify and work together as the enemy presses in. Divisions within the church have immeasurably weakened the body of Christ. So we need to strengthen bonds as much as possible while not compromising God's word. So how do you do that effectively? Well, in particular, what about the Genesis issue? Now, before I go any further, I need to say something here. Obviously, as the director of Answers in Genesis Canada and a speaker for Answers in Genesis, and you know, we as a ministry, we believe that biblical creation is a big deal, that compromise in this area has been devastating to the church, and that Genesis 1 to 11 is the seedbed of all Christian doctrines, and so that messing around with man's interpretations versus God's clear revelation is outright compromise when you're talking about the Word of God. Now, you might not feel that way, but we do. And most of our supporters do. So this episode is going to deal with the topic from that point of view unapologetically. This isn't to sound elitist or judgmental over other believers. It's simply the commitment we take to the authority of God's word. And so we take our stance on this very seriously, as others do their own. Now, biblical creation believers have asked me many times over the years if we should trust ministries and teachers who don't support biblical creation. And as I stated, since most AIG supporters and biblical creation believers in general understand that Genesis 1 to 11 is the seedbed of all Christian doctrines, they realize that those who don't get Genesis right are vulnerable to errors in other areas. And warranted or not, this discrepancy can lead to mistrust and suspicion. Now, firstly, let's not get on some kind of high horse here. You know, Scripture says we're all sinners. We are wicked. We have deceitful hearts, and we all have feet of clay. So we need to understand that belief in the plain reading of Genesis is no litmus test or guarantee of inerrancy, let alone that it implies salvation. Only trust in Christ as Lord and Savior provides the latter. Having said that, a biblical Christian who holds to biblical creation and lives out their walk consistently within its teachings is probably far less likely to fall into many of the errors seen in churches today. For example, I've rarely seen a church with leadership that adheres to biblical creation that supports ideas such as same-sex marriage, worldly philosophies like critical race theory or woke Marxist ideologies, for example. So the biggest overarching question many believers struggle with is this: how can Christians know whether to sit under Bible teaching from individuals or ministries in general? And the question many biblical creationists in particular wrestle with is this: should we trust the teachings of an individual or ministry that does not hold to the biblical creationist position? Now, it should be admitted that many Christians who compromise on biblical creation have very good insights into the, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, the reliability of the New Testament, or many other biblical doctrines. However, I also think that most Christians generally agree that they should submit themselves in every way, intellectually, emotionally, and in all of your activities, to the authority of God and His revealed word. Supported by His strength and wisdom, Bible-believing Christians agree that they should sanctify the Lord in their hearts, like 1 Peter 3:15 says, and conform to and live out the way their lives, the way God says His children should do, according to His word. And to reach that goal, they need to understand how to read the Bible and to understand it. Now, historically, in principle and in general practice, the standard hermeneutical rules of interpretation that by far the majority of the church fathers and reformers adhere to, and that most conservative evangelical colleges and seminaries still espouse, is the historical grammatical method of a biblical interpretation. That is, they tried to find the most straightforward meaning of the words based on an understanding of the historical and cultural setting in which the book was written. Now, sometimes people misinterpret this hermeneutic as taking the Bible literally, but this is a misunderstanding. For instance, when the psalmist asks God to hide him in the shadow of your wings, right? Adherence to the historical grammatical method aren't saying that the Bible teaches that God has wings and feathers, because contextually, the psalmist is using figurative language. The passage is clearly connoting the idea of God, you know, providing love and refuge and safety and compassion, like a mother bird sheltering her young. So the historical grammatical interpretation of the text is basically the way the author intended it to be, okay, in context. In other words, take the Bible as plainly written. Proverbs 3:5 tells us to not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. We can't simply go by feelings or inclinations or intuition or worldly wisdom. No matter what other method of interpretation or understanding we hear taught, regardless of whether it's from a professing Christian or not, if it contradicts the plain reading of Scripture, then it should not be adopted. 2 Corinthians 10:5 commands us to take every thought captive, obeying Christ to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion brought against the knowledge of God. So the answer to the first question is to always seek Bible teachers that abide by the correct rules of Bible interpretation. I mean, they're not always going to get it right, but if they have a heart inclined towards honoring God's word and striving to understand it as plainly written, then we should be good Bereans. We should be open to hearing from them. Now, different Bible teachers, both adhering to the same correct method of interpretation, may come to different conclusions about various Bible topics such as baptism or eschatology or soteriology and so forth. After all, the Bible's landscape is quite vast and some of its content is very sophisticated. You know, perhaps one person might have more knowledge of the subject or better ability to connect certain passages of Scripture or have a better understanding of the original languages. Yet we're all still sinful creatures prone to error, even when we have the best intentions. Nonetheless, if a Bible teacher, who Scripture says will be judged more harshly, abides by the historical grammatical method of interpretation and humbly seeks God's wisdom to teach God's word, we should listen. Now, the answer to the second question is simply this: if a Bible expositor rejects the historical grammatical method of understanding and interpreting God's word, Christians should hesitate to accept the teaching, because ultimately the expositor is interpreting God's word by using an authority outside of Scripture. Now, having said that, the trickier concern for the biblical creationist is this: anyone who compromises with ideas like gap theory, day-age theory, or theistic evolution ignores what the text actually says. So we know that any interpreter other than a literal biblical creation does not consistently hold to the historical grammatical method of interpretation. Every compromised position on Genesis ultimately bends to secular interpretations of science, not to the plain reading of the Bible. However, there are many excellent Bible teachers who do profess belief in the historical grammatical method of interpreting Scripture and do not hold to a biblical creationist viewpoint, meaning that they're being inconsistent, though they may not even realize it. They likely have been exposed to many arguments they think justify old earth or evolutionary beliefs within a biblical framework and may simply not have recognized the extra-biblical nature and or origin of those positions. Understand that many wonderful Christians, even prominent pastors and excellent teachers, have not looked deeply into the creation evolution issue. Therefore, they don't understand key problems like the death before sin issue or realize that presuppositional, the real presuppositional nature of the debate. However, a word of caution. Those people may be fantastic Bible expositors, men of deep faith, sincere lovers of God and His Word, and powerful leaders, you know, used by God to feed His sheep. Yet sadly, we've often seen leaders who've compromised in Genesis. Later on, compromise increasingly in many other areas later on. Why is that? Well, I believe that once a person accepts a method of interpretation making extra-biblical information the final authority over God's word, to conform Scripture to a foreign understanding in one area, there's no logical reason not to apply that method of interpretation to other areas of the Bible as well. Man's word over God's word is still the ultimate battleground where sin dominates. Remember that the eating of the fruit was not, that was just the outward demonstration of the mental decision that Adam and Eve purposefully made to act against God's command, the choice to abandon God's clear revelation as the ultimate authority. It was their attempt to become autonomous over whether to obey God's commands and in effect become like gods. Whenever man puts his own understanding against the pronouncements of God, he is sinning. All other methods of interpretation put man's fallible interpretations above God's word. And we still struggle with the same rebellion that led to the fall of man, a questioning of God's clear revelation. Did God really say? So believers need to gird themselves, to stand on the authority of God's word and practice discernment even more today in our post-Christian times. All Christians are called to rightly divide the Word of God, starting with a foundational understanding that we should apply the plain reading of Scripture from the very first verse. Christians are pressured to conform the Bible to whatever the world's teaching. So it's easy to see why the creation evolution debate is such a stumbling block to many Christian leaders. You could hardly point to an area where the world teaches, what the world teaches contradicts God's Word any more than the creation evolution debate. We need to pray for our pastors and leaders frequently, and where fitting, we should try to develop deeper relationships with them and share insight and resources regarding this vital issue when possible. Let's help the church to heal with the unifying message of biblical authority, starting in Genesis. If you're appreciating this content, please visit the answersingenesis.ca website. Consider donating to the ministry. And of course, whatever platform you're accessing this on, it's got a whole bunch of features that lets you to like or share or write a review, that type of thing. And we'd really appreciate you taking the time to do that because it's probably the number one thing that you could do to help us continue to do outreach. So until next time, I'm Cal Smith. Blessings to you and yours.